This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. The Board of the Illinois Teachers Retirement System took a vote last week that will trigger a larger payment into the system from the state. I sat down with Sean Crawford to talk about what it means for the budget.
So Jamie, what did the Teachers Retirement System Board do that will increase the payment for the state?
Well, what they did was change the assumed rate of return, which is basically trying to guess how well the retirement system's investments are going to do and how much money they will make. And they revised that rate from, it was 7.5% return, and they revised it down to just 7%. So not a big jump, but it could mean a lot as far as how much it will cost the state in the future. And this is a trend that we're seeing happen nationwide. A lot of other states are making this move or considering it because these pension funds are just not performing in, you know, the recent past, and especially over this last year, like they have historically, and the assumed rates of return or what they think they'll make from them have been kind of artificially high for a pretty long time.
So what will the change actually mean for lawmakers and the governor when they try to put together a budget? At least they'll try to do one for next fiscal year.
So the estimate that's coming from the actuaries and some of the legislative staff folks who've crunched the numbers to try to, you know, guess what this would cost is that it could cost more than $400 million in additional payment than what, you know, would have been expected under that 7.5% rate of return. And that may not sound like a ton when you look at the state budget and how big those numbers are. But just to give an example, the governor recently vetoed a raise for direct health care workers that would have given them a $15 an hour wage. This is something that's been an issue for many years, and the governor vetoed it, said, we don't have enough money. Well, that $400 million would more than cover that raise. So when you look at some of the human services programs, that chunk of money could go a long way towards some human services programs that are really hurting right now. But instead, it's going to go into the pension system. But that's not to say that the pension system doesn't need that money. We are at about $111 billion of an unfunded liability right now. So if we were skipping that additional money, that could just tack on more to that unfunded liability.
Why did the TRS board make the move, and why did they make it now?
So the board kind of signaled a while ago that they were considering this move. And I think, as you know, I mentioned earlier, it's sort of a national trend that's going on that pension systems are switching to this lower assumed rate of return, that they're kind of coming to grips with the fact that their investments aren't going to be making as much as they maybe had in the past or as they had hoped that they would. So the board decided to take this step. It is part of their, you know, normal annual process to consider these things when they're trying to figure out what the state is going to pay into the pension system for the next year. So this is kind of, you know, standard practice for them to consider this. But when the rate is changed, it always makes big news because of the additional money that will have to go in.
Well, of course, they're looking at it from a numbers aspect. I guess the governor would be looking at it the same way, trying to put a budget together. Why was the governor so critical, though, of this decision?
He felt that the decision was being rushed. He did, you know, put out some statements saying that he felt like the board should maybe wait a little while until it was full. He had not yet appointed some folks to the board. There were some empty seats, and he wanted the board to hold off until he made those appointments. He also sort of argued that the board should give the legislature and he the chance to work out legislation that might have smooth this change, meaning that it would have sort of stretched it out over multiple years so that big chunk of money wouldn't be due in one fiscal year. And, you know, as you said, just the math of it, it's going to be very difficult to put together a budget for next fiscal year. Almost everyone looking at this process agrees that some sort of tax increase will probably be needed sometime in the near future to make the numbers work out. And the governor would like to make that tax increase as small as he possibly can, of course, because he is not, you know, a big tax guy. And he said he's willing to do a tax increase, but he doesn't want it to be any higher than it has to be. And additional costs that they weren't, you know, planning for could mean that that tax increase would have to be higher.
And the governor did try to block the effort on that vote, but it failed, his attempt. So what happened there?
Yeah, so he tried to hurry up and appoint three members to the board because, as I said, there were empty seats that he hadn't appointed yet. One of the folks that he suggested it as being an appointee had to withdraw his name because he actually lived in the city of Chicago. And under the requirements for the TRS board, the folks on the board can't live in the city of Chicago because Chicago teachers are not covered by the TRS system, only teachers outside of Chicago. So that didn't work out the way that he had hoped. And the vote went, you know, to change the rate of return instead of, as the governor would have liked, to maybe just hold off and not even take the vote last week. There were also some thoughts about whether the board moved too quickly and maybe flouted some of the state's Open Meetings Act laws. So there is still some debate on whether they took this vote in a legal manner. This may not be the last we hear of this vote, but the board says, you know, they did everything the way that they were supposed to do it. But some of the folks from Governor Rauner's team and even some outside people who are kind of experts on Open Meetings Act say, it looks a little dodgy. They may not have followed the rules exactly in taking this vote. So if the governor's office really wants to pursue this, they may be able to continue to push to make the board meet again and re-vote. We see that sometimes happen when local governments don't, adhere to the Open Meetings Act, that they have to have the meeting all over again and retake the vote. And if that were to happen, it may give the governor more of a chance to try to push this vote off or change it in some way so that all that money wouldn't be due next year.
And just about 30 seconds left, Jamie. Let me ask you, I mean, it seems to me this is going to be more fodder for those who say we need to do something about the state pensions and the obligations that the state has, some type of legal change.
Yeah, and I think that it will be. And of course, the governor and some folks in the legislature have moved on to this idea of the consideration, you know, giving retirees and people who will be retirees something of value and they give up something like their cost of living increase. That seems to be, you know, the going trend right now for how we might be able to do pension reform. There's no real indication from the Supreme Court whether that would fly, whether they would go for that. And so in the meantime, if we aren't being realistic about how the pension investments are doing and how much money we need to put in, it's going to hurt us in the long run. We kind of can't count our chickens before they've hatched on making a change and assume that we can put less money in now. This puts the governor in sort of an uncomfortable position because he's been pretty critical of, you know, not funding the pension system to the degree that it should be funded in the past. And some folks would look at this and say that he might be continuing this trend by ignoring that these investments maybe aren't going to do as well as TRS had thought in the past.